Hey guys, it's Jess. I just wanted to tell you that we had a little bit too much fun recording this episode with our friend Nate. And so we ended up having to split it into two episodes. So enjoy our dumb friend party.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talk Music to Me, number 17. The website is talkmusictomeslc.com. I'm Alan.
I'm Jess.
And we got our boy, Nate, the hemorrhoid.
Hi again.
Stepping into the brand new studio. Here's the thing. I gotta preface this. We had Nate in before.
Yes.
And
there's no proof.
But I think we should release a minisode.
But hold on. Let me explain.
I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
You're so excited.
I'm so excited.
We had Nate in before, and we recorded a full episode, and I just got my new mixer, and I couldn't figure out how to work it. Mm-hmm. And so while I was doing that, I was getting pretty frustrated. A lot of drinks were drunk while I was doing that.
Uh-huh.
And
many.
But
then, Jess, you did save the day, and you pulled out your
Yeti microphone.
Your Blue Yeti? Yeti?
Just the Yeti.
It's made by Blue, though. The company's Blue.
Oh,
anyway.
But, yeah, and it's the one I use for questionables.
Yes. So, we recorded with it, and we were really drunk.
Really?
Really drunk.
A bit.
Yeah.
So drunk that I haven't even listened to the episode because I'm so embarrassed of what I'm going to hear that came out of my mouth.
I remember highlights.
There were some great moments. But
amazing moments.
That along with the poor audio quality made me very nervous.
The moment when Nate slammed his drink down on the table.
Well, and that was the thing because the microphone was set right on the table. We all had to share one microphone and every little thing on the table,
you
could hear it's loud. It's oppressive in the ears. It's not great.
I didn't even realize that I had a pen that I was playing with, and I didn't even think about it. And I was clicking the pen, and then I kept hitting a box of cookies that we had.
It was just a big thing. So anyway.
It was so much noise, but it was fun. There were some highlights from it.
So we decided.
From what I remember.
We had to redo this and do it right. So we brought Nate back in the studio.
Alan figured out how to use his microphones.
Thanks for having me back.
We're so excited.
Thanks for coming.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. And we just figured out another podcast to be released soon.
Yes, we did. Tease that.
TBD.
TBD. And so, Nate, your nickname is the hemorrhoid.
Hemorrhoid given to me by James. Thank you so much.
James Dyer from my other podcast.
Yeah, Studio B Production. Yep. Dog and Deuce. And I always call to harass them. And somehow or another, the hemorrhoid is now besties with James. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's switched somehow. But that's
kind
okay.
of weird.
It's a weird friend thing.
It used to be you and me against you and me versus James. And now it's you and James versus me, which is total bullshit.
Yeah, so okay I might do the same here with Jess. We might turn on Alan. So we'll see.
As long as we're together, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's the story of my life, man. It's the story of my life. You guys tried to give me shit on the last episode that we recorded.
Oh, we didn't try. No, but we did.
About the fact that I like the Aquabats.
The fact that I love the Aquabats.
Yeah. But there's
nothing to be ashamed of.
But there's something that we are both on this side of the table, so it was just a setup in order to attack you. It really just happened.
Yeah, this
naturally.
Is on you actually because put us on the same side,
and you give yourself like the king spot, so the king must be attacked by the people.
Well, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Oh my god!
I gotta say, it's tough. It's tough.
Must be hard.
It's very difficult. But Nate, thanks for coming.
I know.
Thanks for having me again.
Today we're going to talk. We're going to talk about. This is something I've wanted to talk about for a long time.
He talks about it often.
I do. And if you've listened to this show at all, I'm sure you've caught me doing this many times. We're talking about bands that everyone else loves that we don't like.
Yeah. That we secretly cringe every single time. Or maybe not so secretly if you're Alan.
Yeah. Where he just voices all the time his opinion on anything and everything.
I can't help it. That's why I have like 50 podcasts that I do. I can't shut up.
Someone needs to listen to me.
Exactly. But Nate, you texted us and you said, let's do one band And I was like, oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, not for, yeah. No,
you're
going to
limit
Halloween.
Me to one band? There
no.
are way
no.
too many.
No.
There are, and there are bands that I don't like for many different reasons, too.
Yeah, but, that's what I liked when I came here and you explained to me. I was like, oh, that's actually a great concept. Yeah, yeah. It's not just like you hate the band for the music. It's actually, I hate the band for this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, that's actually perfect.
And we'll get to that for sure. And we'll leave it off because we want to do some positive stuff. We'll leave it off with one band that we love, that we think everybody should listen to. And it may be a popular band, might not be a popular band. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who you guys picked. I know who I picked.
Oh, I know.
I just picked mine because I was not prepared because I was buying pizza.
You were buying pizza. Thank you for the pizza.
Thank you for the pizza.
You're welcome.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
I think the guest of honor should go first.
I might actually, though, turn off people from the podcast on the band that I'm about to say.
No, because...
No joke.
Oh, you know what? Wait, before
it's
we get
that
into
big.
This. Before we get
this
into
is
this.
Big.
Okay, just...
Nope, you go before we get into this.
Let's have it. Let's get it over with. Let's get the Michael Graves jokes over with.
No.
I know you've got a million of them. Let's get it over with.
So yeah, but many. It's fun for me because I get to sit back and watch them.
I know Nate does not come around me and not have, not give me shit for my hatred for Michael Graves.
Something about Michael
and my
Graves.
Love, my
your boy crush.
Love. It's more than a boy crush.
It gets really uncomfortable in so many ways.
My love for Glenn Danzig.
Oh my God!
His horror movie just released. And I watched, I'm waiting for Jess so we can watch it together.
No, he watched it first with
but
me
I watched,
because
like, the first
he wanted
20,
his
he wanted
alone,
his
time.
Alone time.
I watched the first 20 minutes.
I've come to terms.
It is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
It is a masterpiece of everything
Are
I
we
wanted
surprised?
It to be.
The Exorcist?
No.
Down here.
No.
Nate, are
no.
we surprised?
The Godfather? No.
The
no,
Godfather? No.
Do you think
there
he...
is a chick who has, for no reason at all, has eyeballs for nipples?
Oh, naturally. I mean, that makes sense.
And this is the man you're in love with.
Oh,
this
is so wonderful.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's everything I wanted it to be, and I haven't even watched even a quarter of it yet.
Same.
Whatever, you're not waiting for me.
Oh, I have.
No, he did.
Waited.
He didn't wait.
I have waited.
No, he did not wait.
I'm nothing if not loyal. So
I don't have any Danzig jokes, not Michael Graves jokes.
Okay,
no, nothing
good.
About the Misfits.
I don't have to kick you out.
I hope
then.
It's
cool.
not the same good. Person I picked. Continue.
Oh, it's not a person.
What? Who?
Oh boy. So everybody, drum roll, please. The Ramones.
Ah.
I don't get it.
Okay.
I it's one of those, like, everybody tries to tell me, like, that they are the beginners. They're the best. They're the, you know, the gods of this music genre that we love so much. But for me, I keep listening to them and I'm just like, great, they're just another crappy vocal band that I just don't get. And more importantly, I've been like going back and forth in my head regarding like the quality and everything like that. So when people want to talk about like classic rock bands, they always say like, oh, you can't hate the legends, the classics. Right. And for me, I'm like, okay, so when watching a movie, and in today, right now, our graphics are out of this world. You don't even know what's real and what's fake. But back then in the 70s, and the especially like even earlier than that, they were just horrible. You couldn't sometimes watch a movie because it was so bad.
I kind of appreciate
but
this movie.
But they were the first.
Yeah.
You know, they paved the way for everything
they
that is what
clay.
It is. Yeah, they made it out of things that like nobody would think of today, but they did it. You watch it and you're like, wow, that was so cheesy. Oh my God, look how bad that is. But it's different in music because we have to be like, no man, they're the best. They're the greatest. And for me, I can't get over the infatuation with the Ramones. I just don't get it.
I can understand that. Here's the thing. Like I hear the Ramones and I like what I hear, but I don't love it. It's very poppy. It's very bubblegum.
It's kind of in my genre. I like poppy and bubblegum. Can I dance to it? Can I shake my ass to it?
You
oh, hell yeah.
Definitely do that to the Ramones.
Like, oh, yeah, you can.
It's
I just
fun,
don't think it's good.
It's you've heard one Ramones song. You've heard them all.
Yes. They all do sound very similar.
It's very kind of 50s-esque, just not...
Dude,
not very interesting.
I was listening to a bunch of them today, and it's almost like just a ripoff version of the Beach Boys in a way. Like in a lot of their songs, it's very surfer type esque, but just a little bit faster. It's almost like rock and roll high school. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, very like.
And yes, I respect
that. I'm gonna have to revisit it now.
I mean, I respect what they did and like what they created in a way, but I'll never understand it.
I can understand that.
I'm just impressed that they could sing with their pants that tight. That I'm still impressed that words came out other than, so.
The thing that's interesting about the Ramones is Joey and Johnny were total opposites as far as politically. And I think it was Johnny. Who's the singer? Joey was the singer, right?
Joey.
Yeah.
So Joey was a hardcore liberal. Johnny was like a hardcore conservative.
God, I love that you know this.
Off the top of his head.
Not only that, but Johnny is a total dick as far as I'm concerned, because he stole Joey's girlfriend.
No way. Do I not? I don't know this story.
And he married her.
I don't know this story.
The song, The KKK Took My Baby Away,
yeah,
that's about Johnny stealing Joey's girlfriend.
And they were still in the band together.
And they're still in the band together. And they're touring.
Until
Joey died.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's crazy insane. To me. He wrote a song because Johnny's a right winger. He wrote the song The KKK, talking about Johnny the conservative took my baby away.
Okay, that makes me like them a
right?
little
bit. Right? Like
more.
Their story is so fucking cool.
Like I said, like their story is great.
Right.
And I mean, I'm wearing Chucks now today probably because of them.
Right.
And I mean, there's a lot of influences that they gave to the punk scene.
Mm-hmm.
But musically, I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when, you don't like Blitzkrieg Pop? I'm like, dude, I like it when other bands sing, and it's like Bob Dylan. If you listen to Bob Dylan, technically, he's not that good. But then you listen to another band sing a Bob Dylan song, and you're like, this is the greatest song I've ever listened to.
Right.
Good point.
And that's kind of like me with the Ramones right now, is I hear a song that somebody covers and I'm like, wow, that is a great song. And then I find out, oh, that was a Ramones song.
So yeah. When did you first discover punk?
It wasn't until 1998.
God, you guys know exact years.
He knows
years.
The year. I know. I don't know the year either.
Unless,
I don't know the year.
Okay, question. Would you consider They Might Be Giants a punk band?
I don't know enough about them.
I don't either.
I would not consider them a punk band.
From what I understand, I wouldn't.
They're very cheesy and they're very poppy, so we'll say no. So 1998, little old Nathan is watching The Box. Okay.
I remember The Box.
Yeah. Oh, Channel 58, so, people.
You don't know what The Box is. I vividly remember The Box. You called in
to request music videos. This is like when the poor kids couldn't afford MTV. So we had to watch this channel called The Box where.
Yeah, Channel 58, right?
Channel 58 here in Utah. And we had to actually sit through shitty music video after shitty music video to get to the one you wanted to listen to.
And sometimes people would call up and play the same video over and over.
Oh my God.
So there'd be like an hour straight of Limp Bizkit or some shit like that.
Yes.
And that is the first time I ever heard of Limp Bizkit. It was the first time I ever heard of Eminem, the Backstreet Boys too. All that shit was the first time I ever saw any of those was on The Box. And I would call up and I would request H2O, One Life, One Chance.
So that was one of the few first punk songs that I had ever listened to. And then another one was, of course, Blink-182, Dude Ranch. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this? It was Damn It. And I was like blown away with it. And then after that, it was Unwritten Law with, I want to say it was Teenage Suicide. I think that was the first song they came out with. And then it was California Sky. So that whole 1998 year was just because of The Box. I'm like, I got to get Unwritten Law. I got to get Blink-182. I got to get all these like other bands that I never even listened to. Because, of course, I heard of Marilyn Manson, Rage Against the Machine. You heard of all the like big name stuff. And yeah, they're not really punk, but it was just kind of like a gateway into actually listening into different music than what most people were at that time, which was like off the radio.
I have a random question. Are you and Nate the same age?
I'm 37, turning 38.
I'm 39.
So yeah, about the same age.
I'm a little bit
older. Okay, so I'm 36, so I'm the youngin'. So like when you guys are saying that, I'm like, I feel like this was like a year or two later.
Yeah, I think it was right just before your time.
Yep. Yeah.
This is the only time I've felt young. Thank you. Guys.
Well, so you're 36. No, 37.
Yep.
You still go to shows.
I still go to show. Just went to a show last night. I go to a show about once every 2 weeks now, but I was going to about a show every week.
And we met Nate at a show.
Yeah, we did meet him at a show.
When I bought Alan a few too many beers and I left him alone for a minute.
1 minute.
And I came back and here he was talking to these two awesome dudes named Nate and Shane.
And Shane will get on the show too.
And he's Shane will get on the show. Definitely. And they've become our bestest friends. And it's been wonderful.
There have been many times when I've gotten really drunk and talked to random people at shows. This is the only time I've actually remained friends.
Yes. I'm not going to lie.
It's probably the same with me. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. I can't think of a time where I was like, yeah, let's hang out afterwards.
And I'm just going to say that this is the only time that I really like 100% agreed with the friends that you were making whilst you were drunk at the time.
I know. It's usually the next day. She's like, why were you talking to those people?
And I'm like,
so
do you know how
long?
Much money you spent buying people's drinks? Because I'm just telling you, I tried to stop. But no, with Nate and Shane, that ended up being one of the best nights ever. And we've crossed paths like so many freaking times.
So many times.
Oh,
yeah. At least.
So many times.
At least a dozen times.
Oh, no, Nate.
Within that 2 year span.
Well, and Nate posted a picture from when he was a youngin', and I was like, I fucking know him. I know him. I saw him at shows. I saw him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We've been going to, in Salt Lake City, if you're going to shows, you're going to bump cross paths with people for sure.
Especially like when a lot of people were going to the same shows, you just kind of saw the same crowd. And today I actually noticed the same people now at a lot of the same punk shows. And I'll actually do the nod thing, of course, you know, the
what's up, dude?
What's up?
I actually am getting to the point where I'm not friends with these people, but I'm friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I never would have done that when I was younger.
No.
What's it like? What are the differences of going to shows now than when you were younger?
The pit. You never go into the pit. Yeah.
I gave that up about a year and a half ago.
I gave it up a long time ago.
A lot of it actually has to do with just like the enjoyment now. Like before, whenever my friends and I used to go to the shows, we'd actually just have to get super drunk. And then that was a part of it. It was just like, let's get drunk, watch the show. Most of the times I don't even remember what they were playing. I just remember having a good time. Now, as an adult, I actually go to experience the show. Like I actually see these people and they're joking the way that I'm thinking in my head, like, oh man, I know that this is a late Tuesday night, but I know some of you got to go to work, but let's just have a fun time one last time. You know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be doing this for.
Right.
It's true.
And that's the truth. Yeah. It's just so hard to understand. Like, this might be my last time to see them. And that's what I've always tried to explain to people when they ask me, why do you go to so many shows? Why do you still go see the same band that you just saw maybe a year ago? I don't know when that last show will be, because in all honesty, if I were in their shoes, there's no way I would want to travel across the United States in the middle of winter and then having to put up maybe an hour and a half set, just tired afterwards, just beat.
These bands are getting old.
Like exactly.
Bad Religion. They're in their 60s, most of them.
Could you imagine your dad right now touring
actually,
across the U.S.?
I could with my dad.
And then performing for an hour and a half, jumping around. Because the thing is with punk music that's so hard to understand is what got you to appreciate that band was just their passion for the music. Like the first time I saw H2O, I knew this is the music that I wanted to love for the rest of my life because of the way that they were passionate about the music. Toby singing into the crowd, jumping into the crowd, doing everything as one. And then you come back the next day and you're just like blown away still, like thinking about that moment that you had with that band.
Those are the best shows.
Best shows.
You're thinking about it the next day.
And then fast forward that 20 or 30 years later and you're like, how are they still doing this? I can't even get out of bed sometimes without feeling like I'm weak in the knees or my back is starting to hurt or my ears are starting to hurt. That's what I mean. Like, it's so amazing that these bands, these people can still do it and still love it.
No, so that's a good point.
Are you more open to leaving early nowadays than you
not were? Even a little bit. Like, really? I will stay till the end every time, just because I heard somebody, I forget which band it was, and they had just said something to the effect of, you know, we don't come here very often. The way you can show us respect is just waiting until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me, because I mean, in all, when I start thinking about the sacrifices they have to make, there have been bands to lose band members crossing the I-80 corridor from Denver to Utah.
That's a brutal one.
It is a brutal stretch in the winter.
Especially in the winter, yeah.
And people have died. They've lost family, friends, traveling to play a show for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the disrespect to be like, no, I've got to go to work tomorrow. I know you're going to play these last three songs. I've seen them before. I don't need to see them again. I'm just going to leave. Like, for me, if I'm going to put the effort to actually go to the show, I'm still just going to stay till the end. Well, it's just my way of doing it.
You're more loyal than I am, because I have no hesitation. If I'm not feeling it these days, I mean, back in the day, I had that same attitude, but these days, if I'm not feeling it, I'm done. I don't care. I want to get my lift. I want to beat the people out of there. I don't care about the encore. But if I'm feeling it, there's no way. No way.
And this cracks me up, because when I was a youngin, I would go to shows and I didn't drink because I wanted to enjoy the show. And I was usually driving, so I didn't want to have to worry about driving. And I think I was like way more into the shows than I am now. Now I drink, and I could leave early if I've had too many drinks, or like, I don't think I get as far into the shows as I used to, but I still love going. It's my happy place. It's like, I'll, you know, even if I don't feel well, I'll still go to the show. I bought the tickets. I want to support the artists. I like love that they are going on tour at our age. You know, like, I just am very impressed with them. Plus, it kind of pulls on me feeling a little bit younger in my little soul than I am now.
Yeah. And I mean, this will now make me sound like a hypocrite, but I mean, if it's a band that I'm only going because I've just got something to do that night.
Sure.
I want to leave early, I'm going to leave early, because I mean, at that point, I came to support you in a way that, like, I didn't know your music before. I'm giving you this money. I'm just not in the mood, like you said. I'm just like the other week when we were all just so exhausted after so many hours on our feet, and we're like, let's just go.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was nothing wrong with that. Like, I do not knock anyone for leaving early. Sure. That's one of those choices that they get to make. But if it's my favorite band, or like a band that I've always enjoyed seeing, a good example of that might be Face to Face for me, because I've seen them so many times. And I know their set inside and out, mm-hmm. for the most part. And every time that I go and see them, I still just like, I just get through it. Even though I know the song that they're going to play at the end. And I still make it through that, because it's just the band that I'm like, you guys are just old. It's a fact. And they mention it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
And they joke about it.
They're touring. It seems like they're touring more than ever now.
Yeah, they have been touring a lot more lately.
They're coming. When are they coming?
They're coming again. Yeah, in like April or May. It'll be like
the fourth time in a year, I swear to God.
I would highly recommend seeing them, because the guitarist sometimes does crazy ass shit. Because one of the last times I saw them, he just chucked his guitar into the crowd.
He did. Yeah.
He just chucked it.
Yep.
Like hard. Yes. And it was like, what?
I will say that they were on the Flogging Molly cruise. We didn't go out of our way to see them.
They did.
They played twice, and I didn't really care.
I felt bad because the guitarist is really awesome. The bassist is really awesome. But we did hear from people to people, and maybe it was just a rumor. I'm not really sure that the singer was kind of complaining.
Trevor Keith. Yeah, it might be true.
It's not Mike. It definitely is probably
He was not
true.
Very nice to me when I met him. So I don't know.
He was? Or was
he,
not?
He was very – I was in a VIP thing. And he looked at me like I was going to ask him for a signature, and I just looked at him. I was like, dude, I'm just hanging out. Stop staring at me.
Sounds like one of those people who want you to ask just so he can yell at you.
So.
Yeah. And I was like, can I just hang out and say hi? God. Yeah. But their guitarist was super duper nice to me, and their bassist was super duper nice to me. So I don't know.
But yeah, I've still to this day enjoyed going to concerts. I'm not going to as many, and it's not necessarily that I don't want to. It's just kind of a decision that I've made where I'm like, okay, I've grown up a little bit to the point where maybe I should reconsider like who I am going to see and
be a little bit more selective with it.
Exactly. Well,
didn't we all talk about that? We just all got exhausted when
like back in October, it was like every week there was a band that I absolutely loved coming.
It was Rocktober.
And it
was Rocktober. You all talked about it.
I got towards the end and it just kind of felt like it was losing. I go to a show and kind of go through the motions. It wasn't.
Yep.
We were tired.
I wasn't feeling that feeling that I used to get. And you hear, you know, the roadies come on to tune up the instruments. I just didn't get that feeling anymore.
Yep.
Until Masked Intruder blew my face off. That's when I got it back again.
And I think that that's something to look at. Like as you get a little bit older, it's a Tuesday night and you know you got to get up in the next morning. Right. And you're standing there with your drink going, oh God, I got to get up so early tomorrow morning. And that's where like the Friday and Saturday concerts are much easier.
For sure.
You know, sometimes a Tuesday or Wednesday concert or even a Monday night concert you can do if somebody if they actually put their heart and soul into it. But with some bands when you can tell it's not going into it,
right.
I don't blame them entirely.
Yep.
It's hard.
Because, I mean, do you mind saying your profession?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm an MRI technologist at the University of Utah Healthcare Hospital.
AKA, he's a badass.
So you have a full-on career. You're a full-on grown-up.
Full-on grown-up. He's a grown-up.
You're married.
I'm married. Becky's no awesome. Kids.
Poor Becky was here for the last.
Poor Becky.
The
Becky.
Last shit show that we recorded.
She was put up with my
Becky's
music.
Awesome.
We love you. She was so cute sitting down here laughing at us. We were so drunk.
She was very
that
patient.
Poor girl.
Well, I think she was feeling pretty good, too.
And
she had some drinks, too.
And a side note, she absolutely hates all of my music except Frank Turner, Something Corporate, Jack's Mannequin, and the Gaslight Anthem. So
those are, well,
I can't be mad because she chose some of my favorites.
Yeah, those are good ones.
So she's cool with you going to shows.
Now she is. At the beginning, I think it's just in any relationship. Like you could be dating or you could be married. It's just one of those things. Like, you go to all these shows, do you just not like being around me? So you really start to question yourself as like, am I just doing this to get away from someone or do I sincerely enjoy the music? And for me, that's actually what it was. I just love music. In fact, Becky and I, we did this, would you rather, of course, every relationship, everybody does that, right? Mm-hmm. So she and I were talking about, would you rather lose your sight or lose your hearing?
Sight.
And I said, sight. Yeah. And she said, hearing. And I said, that's interesting. Why? And she said, because I hate hearing things all the time. And I said, that's funny because I love hearing things all the time.
I do too.
I get goosebumps when I listen to a band. I don't even have to see them. I can just hear the music and I get goosebumps. But if I just saw the band, I could feel that sensation, but I wouldn't know what's going on.
Right.
So
for sure.
For me, like, yeah, I'm an adult. I do go to work early in the morning, anywhere from a start time of like 5:30 a.m. to about 8
a.m. He's way cooler than us.
So I have to wake up super early, and then I pull some tough days. It's a very serious job.
Yeah, you're dealing with some heavy stuff in your job.
Exactly. But if doing it right, when I go to the concerts, of course, during the week, normally I'm a little bit more, I take more caution with my choices are going to be. Do I need that next beer? No, probably not. But
he's good.
If it's a Friday or Saturday, I'm definitely going to do a little bit more partying.
He was a much better adult than us at the Toasters concert.
That's true.
Yeah, I had. Yeah, true. I don't know why though. Why was I better?
I don't
adult?
Know. But all I know is that I lost my T-shirt that I bought. And I'm still upset.
I would too.
Still upset.
I'm surprised that I wasn't the adult and tried to like find the T-shirt. So
that is I am kind of to be blamed. Bit,
usually,
yeah.
I'm the adult. I picked it up and then I still lost it. So that just shows you that I had a little bit too much fun.
Shit happens.
Shit happens.
It's a casualty. It's a what is it called? Collateral damage.
Collateral damage.
It was. Yes. Damage. I've always been the one that I usually have my concert bag. I didn't have it that night.
Not that night.
And we're going to get back to our list. And anyone who's wondering, we're kind of interviewing Nate because we're working on a separate project that's going to be a separate thing that we'll release at some point. But so that's why we're kind of diving into these subjects a little bit. Plus, I love hearing from other people who are in our situation because a lot of the times in real life, and I know Jess deals with it a lot too, people don't understand that you're an adult. Like even James, like my best friend in the world, he says, you're a grown up and you're going to concerts all the time during the week. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And people don't quite understand it. So I love hearing what other people think who are in a similar situation as us. I love hearing kind of what it means to them because this show is really kind of a celebration kind of people who are in our boat a little bit.
Yeah.
People who maybe should have grown in quotes, according to society, should have grown up, but we still like doing the same shit we did when we were teenagers.
Well, yeah. And these are things that I don't think we'll ever let go of. And
I don't know if I could.
I lucked out so hard when I met Alan because he loves a lot of the stuff that I love. And he's my consistent and constant concert partner. And if he's not available, then Nate's my backup. And that's awesome. And then Nate's usually with us. And so it's become our like little concert family, and it's hard to find your weirdos, and it's nice that we're adults and we can still find our people because we are a little bit different than the average bear.
We definitely are.
Music touches our souls a little bit harder than other people. Other people are like, oh, well, I like to sit at home and watch Netflix, which I really do, but I'll trade Netflix to go to a show that I really love.
I mean, most people our age like to get on the golf course. I like to golf, but it's not my favorite thing in the world.
Well, so my favorite thing about that is, so entertainment is different for any person.
Right.
Like, you could enjoy watching golf in person, but think of how much that costs. And right. I'm saying to myself, I'm like, wait, I'm going to go sit on grass for almost 8 to 10 hours where I might only see a golfer every, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
Have you ever been to a golf tournament?
I've never been. My friends have told me about it, and it just sounds like the most awful thing.
I've been to the U.S. Open. I went to that one time. I was very lucky to get to go. I was with my dad, my brother, my mom. My dad, my brother love, like they were in heaven. They love that. I like to play golf.
Yeah.
But it's more like I go out and I'll drink some beers and I'll just, you know, it's to get out. It's to have fun and not really take it too seriously. My dad and my brother were in heaven at the U.S. Open. It is excruciating. It's hot. It's Father's Day. There are a million people there. To even see someone hit one shot, you got to like dig your way through the crowd. It's like being at a show, but there's nothing exciting about it.
Yeah, because it's a flash of a minute where the person comes, hits, walks away.
And then everyone's like, you're the man! You're the man!
You're the man!
Yeah.
And so that's my point is like, when a person wants to approach me and say, like, our best friend James.
I like how you said our best friend James. He's going to be so happy to hear that.
He's going to be so happy. So when people ask us about, like, why do you do these things? Why do you keep going to shows at this age? Well, the band that I'm seeing, chances are, is older than I am.
Absolutely.
So why is it weird that I'm, who is younger, am spending one night with this band, and they're still having to travel maybe 30 or 40 more times after my night? And like, I know people love to go to the movies. At this point, movies almost cost as much as a concert does for me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I get three bands most times. And I might even discover a new band where I'm like, I never knew how good that band was until this night. And they might be one of those where I'm really good live, but our album sucks. And that's okay. But at least I had a good experience out of it and it was something fun to see. But a lot of the people that I've had talks with where I've tried to explain to them why I still go to the shows. That's my number one thing that I always go back to. It's just like, well, what do you do for fun?
Yeah.
And then when they tell me what they do for fun, I'm like, good for you. You got to go do the thing that you find fun that I don't think is any different than mine. And you could say mine's childish because it's a concert, but they have to pay for their bills. They still have to make their money, and they're not making money anymore from album sales because everything is now downloaded for free. So if you're not making money from your music, which is ridiculous, by the way, I still think that, I mean, if somebody who paints a portrait or somebody who puts a canvas on the wall and then splashes some red paint on it and they can sell it for like $50,000, why is it that a band gets screwed out of something that is going to last longer for everyone to enjoy, not just one person in their house? Like, it blows my mind that that's even a problem right now.
Hold on, but golf clap.
Golf clap. But these bands, I mean, they have to make a living. And the only way that they're making a living right now is if they actually go on tour, which is just blowing my mind that you're 60 Bad Religion. Now, of course, they're the exception. They do not need any more money, probably. They could just retire at this point. Sure. But they enjoy it, so that's why they keep doing it. But a band like The Offspring, where maybe they could just call it quits because I saw them last time, and they're just...
Offspring, I'm just going to say this, and no offense to Offspring fans, but they should hang it up, man.
Yeah.
Like, they should hang it up.
Like, they had great songs, and they influenced a lot of what we enjoy today.
That was
today.
My gateway band.
Exactly. Okay, actually, Smash, when you asked the question.
That was my gateway record.
Darn it to heck. Yeah. It was Offspring, Smash, everyone. Okay, I confess. And Green Day, Dookie.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Everyone has a gateway band. Yeah, everyone has a gateway record.
Those were the two, of course, that I had heard first. But going back to your original question, it was Blink-182 and Unwritten Law. Those two on the box totally took me down that rabbit hole. Right. I was like, what is this? And then I looked at the liner notes and I'm like, what are these other bands? Who are these people?
Right. Oh, wasn't that what you do too? You looked at the liner notes?
Always. Always. That was how I found so many bands. I was talking to my kid today, actually. He's into punk rock. He's going to shows with us. It makes me so proud.
He's really upset at us that we're not taking him to Bad Religion and Alkaline Trio.
In Phoenix.
We're sorry.
I know we're heading to Phoenix to go
see
that. Yeah, I feel bad. But he's going to turn 15 in like a week, less than a week, actually. And we were talking about this, and I said, and of course I did the old man thing where I'm like, man, I feel so bad for you kids because you don't know the experience of going into a record store and hunting through something I've heard of that band because they're in the liner notes, and
you take risk.
It was rolling the dice.
You had to buy it. You couldn't just like, oh, I'm going to go listen to this on YouTube. No, you had to take the balls to buy it.
See?
And some.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, the way that I discovered new bands is I would go to Target and buy the $5 CDs. That's how I found Alkaline
Circuit
Trio.
City.
See, you were smart about it because you took much less of a risk. I always would just go into Tom's Music and Sandy, and I would just go through. That was the first record store I ever saw that had a punk section.
Yep.
So I was in heaven. Like, I was super happy. And you took a risk. You had to put down your money to get it. And I would buy a CD, and even if I fucking hated it, I felt like I had to listen to it to justify the money. And he didn't understand. He's like, well, yeah, no, what's so great about that? I can just listen on Spotify and see if I like it.
Did you like rip out all of your hair and throw it at him?
But you didn't get, there's so much you missed out on. Yep. You missed out on the artwork, and you missed out on getting the lyrics. And he's like, would you see the lyrics? Were they printed on the CD? And I was like, you don't even know that they had lyrics in the booklet? Like, he didn't even know. He's never had a CD before. He had no idea that there were lyrics that they would print. And it just drove me crazy.
Well, see, and they also don't understand, like, how cool it used to be where you used to go to the music store to actually get recommendations from the people who worked in the fucking music
store. I still do that.
Graywell,
I still do that.
Oh, I did that.
Graywell is still one of the best places.
Yeah, which is a local record store here.
You just go up to the front desk and you're like, hey, what's up? I need this. And they are amazing.
You give them like a little bit of, I'm kind of in the market for this, this, and this. And one of the five dudes or girls working there might be able to help you.
Right.
And I mean, it is dependent on kind of what's popular right now. Mm-hmm. The older generation, those people always helped me out better. It was just a fact.
They just knew their shit.
They were there during the times when like these bands were coming through and nobody else knew them except they were going to it because they had been working at Graywell, and Graywell got free tickets for all their employees.
Oh, so awesome.
So they would just go and hook them up, and then they would be like, okay, even though I didn't listen to this music before, I'm going to give this band a shot.
Yep.
But like, yeah, that was my favorite thing about going to Tom Tom as well. Like growing up and just walking in there, you kind of felt cool. You kind of felt like, man, I'm a badass.
Right.
I'm hanging out in the music store. Hell, and then you would go over to the punk section and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to get this.
It was always the smallest little section too.
So but small.
That's why I would go there.
Yep, me too. But
now going like to Raunch Records in Sugar House.
That's actually really fun.
Which is another local store. And I love going in there, but it's just the opposite. I feel so stupid because he is so, I think his name is Brad, I want to say.
I've never been in the store.
He is so into like obscure punk. I mean, obscure like, compared to
like
us.
Like British underground.
Not like crust punk and shit like that. And like street punk. And so if he happens to have, I don't know, let's just say
like an AFI from before the Art of Drowning
album. Let's say Bad Religion or something. Yeah. Or Bouncing Souls. If I go up there and he's like, oh, you like the mainstream stuff, huh?
See, and
it's like, God damn it, son of a bitch. You make me feel like such a loser.
I feel like if you went up and you're like, hey, do you remember that butt trumpet song from like that compilation from like 12 years ago, that you might be okay with
He would probably find it.
But you know what? He was cool because I just walked up and there was like a back patch for AC/DC and I bought it for my dad. And I was like, yeah, can I get this patch? And I didn't care. I didn't even try to like banter with him because I knew I wasn't going to win.
Well, he doesn't do it. And I want to be clear, like I'm not ripping it. He doesn't do it in a condescending way.
He's badass.
He's just awesome. And he's like, yeah, the mainstream stuff's selling pretty good. You know, but when I go up with like the reggae shit, then he thinks I'm cool.
Then really?
Like, I bought a Peter Tosh record. And I bought like a, I don't know, I can't remember, like a Morgan Heritage record or something. And he's like, yeah, this reggae stuff, it's really selling like hotcakes. That's really cool. If you know, come in and I'll let you know if we got some new shit. It's like, all right, now we're homies. Now we're good.
And he was just a
sweetheart.
Just took
reggae.
Yeah, exactly.
I went straight up to this case and I was like, is that an AC/DC back patch? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I need that for my dad. I need it immediately. And we were on like good terms from there. But when they were
talking, very nice guy.
They were talking back and forth. I'm like, I'm not even going to pretend I know what you guys are talking about. So,
do you think that they have anything like Michael Graves or like the Good Misfits?
You guys watch
the
out.
Good Misfits.
There's like, going to be fear. There's like, going to be, don't throw anything.
I knew it was coming.
Well, no, what was coming?
I knew that
I'm
Graves
just too. Asking a question on whether or not their like knowledge is good.
Fucking Christ, I'm gonna kill you, I swear to God. Get the fuck out of here.
If you just hear like running, it's me because they're throwing beers at each other, and beers and I are not friends.
Good thing
today.
we're recording this actually as well, so
that's the only reason I haven't come across the table.
Yeah,
because there'll be evidence.
There'd be evidence.
I got a million more questions I want to ask. We also have to, Jess and I, we gotta give our list.
Yeah, we
bands.
Still need to hear your bands because I'm pretty sure most people had just turned off after I said the Ramones. But let's hope that
posers.
Fuck him, the hemorrhoid he is.
He is the hemorrhoid.
Now, is this within the punk category or any category?
I said any category.
Okay,
I said anything. Like, I was still trying to keep it within like punk, emo, indie, not like rock pop, because
God,
I mean,
damn it.
Like
maybe
you can do whatever you want.
No,
but, I got
but,
shit.
But the thing
not
is, like,
in
rock pop is too easy. It's
oh,
like
I got one.
If you I've if you hate too. Aerosmith, guess what? There's a lot of us who hate Aerosmith. Like
I don't know what,
like but Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like yeah, those are so easy. That's why I was trying to like condense it so that it's like really cool. So it's like you might say a band that, like I just did, I probably pissed off so many people.
That one may have pissed off
because
some people
take that band to heart.
I hear what you're saying about it. about them though. But let's do this. I want to play a song.
Okay.
I've been on a huge Suicide Machines kick lately.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, we're gonna play it finally.
And they released a new song just like a couple days ago that's gonna be on their new record, and I love it. It's fucking short. It's awesome. Please don't sue us. We're doing it out of love. You can get it anywhere online. Like we're not stealing it, so don't think we're stealing it. It's called Anarchist Wedding. It is the Suicide Machines. This is Talk Music to Me. We'll be right back. Nate's flipping off the camera.
That's so punk rock.
It's so fucking punk.
I'm so Joey.
God damn it.
You're so Joey.
You would be Johnny.
I would not be Johnny.
Fucking A, you would be so Johnny. If you are a Michael Graves fan.
Yeah, that's you. You're the Michael Graves fan, buddy.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Johnny.
So you're Johnny.
Yeah.
You're Johnny.
Oh, God.
This is going in the show, too. Welcome back.
I fucking hate Johnny.
Welcome back to Talk Music to Me. That was the Suicide Machines, Anarchist Wedding. It's a great song. And thank you, Suicide Machines, for totally giving us the rights to play that song. What a nice bunch of guys.
Thank you for sponsoring the podcast.
We love you. I've loved you since high school, and I'm old. So that just shows.
I remember the first time I heard the Suicide Machines. I used to listen to the radio as I fell asleep. That's how old I am, the radio.
They were on
Loveline with Adam Carolla.
I used to listen to that.
I listened to it.
Oh my God. Everybody
all
did.
The time.
All the high school kids
and
did.
And then I got to interview Adam Carolla. That was pretty cool.
You did?
That is.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I've told you that.
Damn it. He might be cooler than us right now.
Well, speaking of Suicide Machines, Tom Music, the guy recommended me their album.
Was it Destruction by Definition?
The one with the fists in the air.
Battle Hymns.
Yeah, Battle Hymns.
That's great.
Yeah.
All of them are good.
Yeah.
They're all good, except I'm not a huge fan of the self-titled.
See, and I like that
one. That's another episode we could do, Bad Records from Great Bands.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's okay, put it on the list.
TBD. Put it on the list.
I want to make a quick pitch to why we should be sponsored by this beer company, because I love this beer.
And by the way, I'll be reaching out to you.
Arrogant Bastard Ale. I've never had it.
I bought it today.
It's amazing. It's got like a devil Satan guy, which is right up my alley, right on the label there. I love it.
And it cracked me up. I saw it and it said, "You're not worthy of this beer." And I'm like, I need this beer.
Yeah, it's true.
I am worthy.
I am worthy.
I will bow before Arrogant Bastard Ale. I have no shame. So let Jess.
Me.
You're
yes,
up.
So let's start.
You're
let's
up.
Let's start with you.
I'm going outside of things.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You do whatever you want to do.
This is your show, technically.
It's
so.
A band. I don't even know if you want to call it a band, but it's a person that if it comes on the radio, I scream and I change the station because I hate it. I hate it so much. It hurts me. And it's Alanis Morissette. I can't stand her.
Wow.
You do have a deep, deep hatred.
Wow. Is it because she's Canadian?
Oh, no, I love Canadians.
You're xenophobic, is what you're saying.
Xenophobic? What are you even talking about?
Is it because she's a woman?
Oh,
you're a misogynist. Misogynist xenophobe.
I'm going to start throwing Girl Scout cookies.
Her voice got there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's because the rage got too much. No, I've never liked her. From the second that her stuff came out, I can't fucking stand her.
And didn't she win a Grammy?
Yeah, and I can't stand her.
The
and
shame.
She seems like a lovely human. I'm sorry. I hate your music. I hate it.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's fucking annoying.
Nothing in that song is ironic. None of it.
What are you talking about? Raining on your wedding day?
Nothing is ironic in that song.
Wedding day.
It's like a free ride when you're already late.
Yeah.
I'm getting rage problems.
By the way,
as you're talking about it.
Well, total side note, Becky will appreciate this, my wife.
Hi, Becky.
Because we were watching the All-Star break game or whatever they call it for the NBA. And Magic Johnson used ironic so terribly it made zero sense. He said, with Kobe's death and these basketball players standing behind me dressed in white, isn't it ironic? And both Becky and I actually had to look at each other and said, what the fuck, that's not ironic. Do we need to tell Magic what irony is?
He was a hell of a basketball player.
But God, he is
not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Sharp. So anyway, Alanis Morissette.
I can't fucking stand her.
You don't like her.
It got really popular around the same time that Garbage and a few other bands got really popular.
Hole.
And yes.
That was after Hole.
Can I do a second? Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I got a million.
Because it's in the same genre and they happened at the same time. I wanted to like them, but I couldn't. Is the Cranberries? Her voice.
That's the zombie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, please die. I can't.
You are just shitting all over the foreign world of music.
But I wanted to love her.
What, you hate Irish?
No, I wanted to love her because she had short.
You are xenophobic.
Yeah. Why is it that I'm being attacked and you didn't even whatever?
And she's a woman.
Wow, you're right. Oh wow.
Okay, is there a woman singer you do like?
I'm gonna break this glass. And, like,
were you part of the crowd yelling "Lock her up, lock her up"?
I am given like slit eyes.
Build that wall.
Shut up. No, I wanted to love her because of her cute pixie hair, and I thought she was a badass. And then
she sang.
Okay, this is going to be the test. Okay, I have one question for you.
If you say anything that's annoying, I'm going to throw something at your head.
This will be this is the test to tell if you're xenophobic and misogynistic.
Shut up.
Oh boy,
Sinead O'Connor. Oh no, that's a pause. That means you don't like Sinead O'Connor.
I don't like Sinead.
She's from Ireland and she's a female. Oh wow, I think you're labeled.
Shut.
I think you're labeled.
Up.
I think we now know.
Wow.
I'm so annoyed now that I don't even know what to say. You know,
I thought I knew everything about you.
It's interesting about white privilege and people saying shit.
No, this is factual though.
Yeah. Fuck both of you guys.
Which, by the way, speaking of
the
misogyny,
fact that you didn't even freaking attack Nate. I'm angry.
About what?
I'm angry.
What? I only had good things to say.
I put myself out and I admitted to things that I don't like, and you guys are attacking me and making fun of me.
I have attacked Nate a lot.
Relentlessly.
A lot.
Listen deeply. You will see.
Jess, yeah, but I love I love Flogging Molly.
Yes, you do.
And so.
But she doesn't sing ever.
Bridget does not sing in that band.
It doesn't matter. She's a badass.
She is a badass.
Yeah,
so
I don't really think you're a xenophobe or a misogynist.
Thank you.
That's why it's fun to make fun of it.
I'm gonna slowly lower my wine bottle that I had up in the air behind my head.
But if I find a MAGA hat, In the closet.
I don't even know what that is, so you're fine.
Make America Great Again. If I find a MAGA hat.
Don't make me throw up.
Anyway. No politics. No politics.
No politics.
But no, I just something about... I didn't find either of their music interesting. I was extremely bored when
it was very bland.
It was bland, and I was bored while I was listening to it, and I thought that they used weird vocals to try to make it interesting, and to me it was not interesting. And so very boring rather than ironic. Yeah. Just straight ass boring.
Wow. I like the tie-in.
Yeah. But
it's interesting that you bring these two things up. And then after listening to the last podcast where you guys were talking about maybe the crews could actually bring female artists on.
Bring the Interrupters.
And I'm sorry, once again, they've kind of disappointed where it's just a bunch of dude bands. And I completely agree with you. Like, there are so many good bands right now. Female bands, the Bomb Pops. Bad Cop, Interrupters, like you mentioned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's so many right now that are catching this wave, and they're just kind of ignoring it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, you're missing an opportunity right now.
And
this is a
great
opportunity.
Those chicks freaking kill. They're amazing. Oh, and they're amazing artists, and they're incredible. And the fact that they're not on these just makes me sad.
And then I checked out your friend who was the... one killing it at the karaoke punk band, the Dory.
And the Monsters?
Oh my God, they were so good.
They're so good.
Dory, if you are listening to this, you found a new fan.
A brand new fan.
Dory is just the sweetest thing ever.
No, but it's such good music.
Dory.
She's got such a good voice.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying is that if you're, you know, any musician, think about what you're actually making. And are you doing something interesting with your vocals, or are you just being annoying? And to me, these two were just being annoying. And I feel bad saying that, but I felt that way.
I don't have a problem with Alanis Morissette. That song drives me crazy because nothing's ironic in that song.
Yeah. Maybe that's the irony.
That is the irony.
Oh, she got you.
Wow. Wow. She went deep on that. That was next level right there.
Well, she's just the only artist that if I am listening to the radio and it comes on, I am like pushing the buttons as hard as possible,
that is
screaming,
funny.
Stop it.
Because
or I'm like leaving the room.
Of the ones you said, I find her the least obnoxious.
See, and I can handle the Cranberries more than I can handle her.
Yeah,
I can't fucking stand it. I can't. Fucking stand it. I don't know. It's like nails on a chalkboard when it comes on. And it's not just like, oh, this is annoying. I can still stay in the room. I'm like clawing at the door. I'm like, get me the fuck out of here. I'm running like out of the parking lot. I've even surpassed my car. I can't even, no, get me away from it. I can't do it. So that's mine.
It's pretty funny. I kind of like that. It's funny.
Okay.
Okay, Alan.
Alan.
Okay.
You're up.
How much time we got here?
Alan has a lot of rage against different bands.
Let's keep it to a minimum of 10, maximum of 50.
I'm not going that
50.
Much.
Three.
I do have one maximum at the end. That's my big one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, but first one is Queens of the Stone Age. Fuck Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh my God, if we were going to go this route, let's do this.
Fuck
okay,
Josh
baby.
Homme. Fuck Josh Homme.
Oh no, we're gonna lose all of our followers again.
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. It's worth
every single. I'm a big sports fan. I'm a huge sports fan, and every sporting event I go to, the game starts out with that goddamn song, and I hate it so bad. It triggers me like no other.
Brody Dalle, good job getting a divorce. We love
him. Yeah, she's divorcing him. I'm very happy about that. So that's one.
Well, you know way too much about the Queens of the Stone Age, but congrats.
We love the Distillers.
The Distillers are great. Yeah. That's another band that should get on the boat.
And she went back to being a freaking badass, and I'm proud of her.
He probably, we've talked about this. Have we talked about it on the show? I don't think so.
Wasn't he very like,
I don't know, but here's my theory. Here's my theory, and it has no basis in anything I've heard or read, but I know he's a piece of shit who likes to kick photographers who were just doing their job.
He kicked a female photographer who was taking photos of him, and she didn't he like break her face or something?
I think so, yeah. So just based solely on that and my hatred of him, here's my theory.
And his music.
My theory is that he spread rumors in order to get Brody Dalle to break up with her boyfriend because he was like, oh, I spread rumors that we cheated.
Yeah, with Tim Armstrong. Yeah. My guess is he's a controlling piece of shit. And she was getting the band back together and he didn't like that because then now he's not the rock star in the family. So he got a little controlling. And here's my theory. She was just like, fuck this shit.
Good for you, Brody Dalle.
So I hate him. I hate him so much. And we went to the show and we've given a review of the show on this.
And we got a lot of bad feedback and I'm sorry.
I did not realize how many people love that band.
The show was
They love that band. Sorry, the show was terrible. Good. It was the worst show I've ever seen.
We left. Queens
of the Stone Age.
We walked out after the second
sound. Oh my God. If people have a problem with you disliking Queens of the Stone Age, I'm sorry. Out. That is just arena rock. You could compare that to Nickelback. You could compare that to any of those bands. Yep. No offense if you like those bands, okay? Great. Good for you. You can like what you want. And I'm glad that you found something to appreciate in that band. But here's the deal. It sounds exactly... Now, you could say that the punk music, it sounds exactly the same
thing. It does.
No, but it's a different approach because anyone can make that sound with a mass production behind it. Anyone can.
That was one thing that you said, to give Jess credit, is she said...
Thank you.
Their recorded music is much better than their live music. They are not... I think you guys are both right. I think in the studio... They have a great producer behind them, and I think they're able to make them sound better than they are and more talented than they are.
Well, because there were a few songs off the new album that I made Alan go to the show, and I was horrifically disappointed.
And that is not just because of his feud with Danzig. Yes, that does not help.
The truth comes out.
I mean, yes, it does not help. But I do want to say one thing.
Danzig lover.
unashamed. Unashamed. Nate, you did bring up a good point that I think we should probably reiterate here. If you like these bands that we're mentioning, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing.
We have nothing against you. We just don't like the band.
I don't feel shamed. This is a personal preference, and there is nothing wrong. If you love them, hey, awesome. Don't get mad at us.
Do you know how many people hate the bands that I love?
Oh, so many.
I know. You've got one sitting right in front of you.
God damn it.
Well, but like, if someone came up to me and said, I love Alkaline Trio. If somebody came up to me and said, I hate Matt Skiba, I hate Alkaline Trio, I hate everything about it, I'd be like, okay.
That's cool.
But I wouldn't get offended by it. As far as I know, I did get offended when that one guy on their cruise said, maybe they should replace Matt Skiba and Alkaline Trio, and I almost punched him.
Now you wonder, and this was finally Jess understood.
Wow.
I almost punched him.
This Jess understood.
It was a weird moment. Alan saw it change in my face from being nice to like.
Well, you understood the roots of my hatred of Michael Graves.
Yeah,
I did.
Because it's exactly like that. You take a band, all the music's written by one guy, he sings it, he makes the band what it is, and then we're just going to replace that guy and call it the same fucking band.
Okay, wait,
don't do that.
Give me your hand. Give me your hand. You love Danzig.
I do.
I love Matt Skiba.
Yes, you do. And you understand.
And so, guess what else, though? I love you, too.
I love you, too. So, but think, like, one of your favorite bands, let's see, like Unwritten Law.
Give me that back.
Unwritten Law, Scott Russo pulled an Axl Rose, and he kicked out everyone in the band.
But,
and he's got one band member, Wade, the original drummer who created Unwritten Law, and he only brought him back because they became friends. Everyone else was kicked out.
You guys...
He's a bit of a diva.
And you know what?
Oh, big diva.
Yeah, he's a
big diva. I still like him.
Right.
But it's just...
But imagine if all the other guys kicked out the singer or the singer left and they're like, we're still going to carry on.
Oh,
we're
no.
We're still going to... Like, let's say he left, right? And he's like,
okay,
I'm done.
This is what it would be like. So the Gaslight Anthem, all performed by Brian Fallon.
That's exactly
he's amazing.
Right.
All-time favorite artist.
Fucking love him.
And if... The Gaslight Anthem said, okay, well, Brian's going to do his own thing. I'm going to go find this other singer. And they're going to sing all of Brian Fallon's song. It would be the exact same thing that you feel for Michael Graves.
Right.
But mine would be better, of course. Because no one could be any worse than the Misfits. So technically, with the Gaslight
sleeves.
The Gaslight Anthem technically would just find a better.
They're gonna make me stress eat cookies.
Wait, hold on, hold on, hold on for a second. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong here. Have the Gaslight Anthem, have they ever sold out Madison Square Garden? I don't think they have.
His voice got really high.
No, I don't think they have.
No.
Wait, hold on though.
What's no. happening?
Okay.
The Misfits though.
Did they?
40 years in, like, did they sell out Madison Square Garden?
Do you understand?
I would kind of, did
they sell out Madison Square Garden?
I would kind of did sell out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they did. They sure did.
What's gonna happen, you guys?
You know what? I'm getting to the point where it's like I don't care that the cameras are on. it's worth a fucking lawsuit at this point.
It's worth it.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That was one of mine.
Wow. He calmed down.
Yeah, he did. He did finally calm
down. Oh, it's all in jest. It's all in good fun.
That's what brought this relationship closer.
It really is.
Thank you, Michael Graves, for bringing this relationship closer. I really appreciate it. But there was a point that I was about to make. You said the Queen of the Stone Age, and then we were segueing into a lot of other bullshit.
Yes.
But gosh darn it, I'll have
to
get back to it.
It's going to come to
it. It's one of those, like, I wanted to say it, and it was a perfect, like, little bam.
And then Alan talked about Danzig.
He had to talk about his love for Danzig, and I'm like, okay, well, that's over.
And then we all had to do, like, a long exhale and look the other way. Yeah.
I give you full permission, if you remember it,
to just cut you off.
And I'm dead serious. Just cut me off. I don't care.
Okay, so next band.
All right, now here's where we're going to get into shit where people hate me.
Oh.
Should I just go the one that I think most people who listen to this show will hate me with?
Do it.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is not for the band. I actually like the band a lot.
Oh.
The Street Dogs.
Because of their fan base sucks dick.
It's true.
Their fans.
Sorry, people. If you are one of those people who go to their shows,
stop being an asshole. Sorry.
Sorry. I just got really excited.
100% correct.
Just got really excited.
Because here's the thing. And I'm going to.
There's only been two shows that we walked out of. One was Queens of the Stone Age, and the other one was Street Dogs. And we were so upset.
And the fans at the Street Dogs, and I know, because I know a lot of Street Dogs fans who I love. Mm-hmm. I love to death. But there is a giant portion of their fan base that sucks. It's not just that they're violent. It's not just that they're rough. They are borderline white supremacist.
I know
the band is not. I know they're not racist. I know they're not white supremacist. But it just seems, and maybe I don't know enough about that kind of culture, the Boston culture.
Well, it's like the Dropkick Murphys. It's the exact same fan base.
I know the Dropkick Murphys are not Nazis. They're not white supremacists.
They're not skinheads.
They're not racist.
Nothing.
They're not out to hurt people.
Nope. And they're not out to hurt people. But a big portion of their fan base is toeing that line. And it doesn't seem... The Dropkick Murphys actually seem to do a lot to distance themselves from it. They go out of their way. And I admire that a lot because I think they understand the perception of what their fans are and the perception of it kind of and how it makes them look. Street Dogs, maybe they have. I haven't seen it. And there are some things that the Street Dogs... No, it's their fans. It's their fans.
Yeah, it's but just their fans.
It's toeing that line, and maybe I don't know enough about skinhead culture. And I know. Here's the thing.
We're going deep, people.
It's like going deep. The origins of the swastika, right, was like a Buddhist thing or something.
Yeah, it was
like
Buddhist.
That.
No, but Hindu.
Hindu.
Hindu. Hindu.
But when it gets co-opted by Nazis, you gotta give it up. You can't have it. I understand the suspenders and the skinhead thing was not a racist thing, but when it's co-opted by fucking racists, you got to give it up. I'm sorry. It's not yours anymore. It sucks.
Preach.
It sucks that it's gone, and it sucks you don't have it anymore, but you can't use it. And if you do use it, you cannot be pissed that people think you're white supremacists. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Like, that's just reality. Like,
it is.
I mean, when people... Wait, like you have a
golf clap.
Golf clap again.
Thank you.
Man, we're having a lot of golf claps. That's two.
That's two.
That when you have a lot, when you have a perception of something, like you can see it one way, and if the rest of society sees it a different way, I'm sorry, you've got to give that up. How many people could walk around right now with Hitler's stash?
Right.
And get away with it?
Right.
You just can't, because guess what?
It's taken.
Everybody thinks of one
and
thing.
And you can sit there.
Even though Charlie Chaplin did that way before his time.
That's what I was going to say. You could say, oh, it's a Chaplin stash. No.
No.
No. I'm sorry. It's been taken.
Taken.
From you.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It sucks, but that's how it is. And that's the thing that kind of bugs me, because the non-racist skinheads get very upset. And rightfully so. You should never be happy that there are racist fucks out there.
No.
But
never.
You cannot be like, how dare you think I'm one of them? It's like, well, dude, you're wearing their uniform.
You're kind of parading yourself like them, but then you are saying, no, this is just the way I dress.
Right.
It's like, nah, you kind of look like
them. Your culture may have had it first. They may have had it first, but it was stolen from you. And I'm sorry. It's not fair, but it's stolen.
You gotta abandon it.
Go away, man. Like, you can't do it anymore.
Dude, you could still wear the t-shirt. Go James Dean look.
Right, right.
Like, you could still do that.
Right.
You just, I mean, even wearing the Doc Martin boots, not a big deal. I mean, I see plenty of people wearing those boots. I don't think, oh, skinhead neo-Nazi.
Right, right.
It's when you add the blue jeans,
the suspenders, the red suspenders,
and the white t-shirt, and the
shaved head.
Big old shaved head. You kind of just look like what we expect.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
And that Straight Dogs concert was the only concert where I felt really unsafe.
I did too. Me too.
And you went into the pit to just go have fun because we were excited because we really liked the band. And you almost got very hurt. Oh. And I remember Alan came out and I didn't feel comfortable or safe going into the concert. And I wanted to leave. And it broke my heart because I really did want to watch the show.
Right.
And we left because we didn't feel safe.
And that's why they played on the cruise this year too. And I had no interest in seeing them.
We didn't
Again,
see them.
I liked their music.
I was frightened. I'm going to be honest. I was frightened to go to the show. I would have loved to have seen the band. I was frightened of the fans. I didn't.
On the boat?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, really? See, I would have felt safer there just because we're more familiar with that. Those people in that crowd, but it left a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The band didn't seem to give a shit. I don't want to say they were encouraging it because they weren't, but it's almost to the point, like it was so violent that it was almost to the point where if they're not stopping it and saying something,
then
they're almost condoning it or encouraging it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it was. So
yeah. And that I'm of the belief that you should feel safe at a concert.
Yeah, it's like rough, but you should feel safe.
A mosh pit is a mosh pit, and if you get into the mosh pit, you might get hurt.
Yep.
But you shouldn't feel so unsafe that you feel like you have to leave the entire venue.
Agreed.
And that it was heartbreaking, and it sucked. I mean, I didn't want to be anywhere near that fan base, and I wanted to be out of the building, and I wanted to be out. I was sad I bought the ticket. I was sad I wasted my time there. I was sad.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
And that's what's messed up about it. It's just like everybody wants to go to a concert and have the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the music, have a good time. But if people are like, that's your problem that you don't know that this is how the concert's supposed to be, it's like, no, bro. There's only like 50 of us to you. And the 50 of us are just wanting to have a fun time.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
exactly.
You can say that. Well, that's your problem. It's like, no, bro, that's not my problem. That's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I am physically being harmed,
mm-hmm.
that's not how it's supposed to be.
No, and to the people who like to go to concerts and hurt people, there was one concert when I was younger, and I was just standing, not even in the mosh pit, just in the crowd, and someone shoved me and kicked me at the same time, and I hit into a metal fence, and I actually bruised my kidney and was really, really hurt. I was really, really hurt, and I wasn't doing anything to bring that on.
I blame AFI's music video that showed a bunch of kids swinging and kicking. And don't you remember that?
Uh-uh.
It was from their Art of Drowning album, and I want to say it's Girls Not Gray, maybe.
That was off Sing the Sorrow.
Sing of the Sorrow. My bad. And my apologies, everybody.
No,
I was thinking of Sing the Sorrow.
Alan's a huge AFI fan.
But the thing is, like, that music video came out in 2003, and then all of a sudden, I swear, I would go to a concert, and that's what people were trying to pretend to do. And I called it the AFI effect because I'm like, no one ever saw the moshing until that music video. Like, people saw Nirvana's. Guess what? They were jumping. They weren't kicking. They weren't punching.
No.
People were crowd surfing.
It looked crowded, but not brutal.
It wasn't brutal. Not violent. It was a normal mosh pit from back in the day. And then all of a sudden, people just decided that this AFI music video, everybody's like, yep, that's how it is. And that's how I'm going to have to behave.
If you're an angry person, male or female, who comes to a show to just beat the shit out of people, please don't go to shows.
Hey, guess what? Go play hockey. Go do UFC. Right.
Spend your money on therapy.
Or therapy, I guess.
Don't hurt another innocent person.
But I figured out what I was going to say. Figured it out.
Let's hear it.
Bro.
Bro.
Hemorrhoid coming at you. Hot.
Wait. Here comes
the sweaty.
Hot hemorrhoid.
Itchy.
The hot, sweaty hemorrhoid.
Gross. So,
he said it, not me. Oh, no, I did too. So here's the deal. Chris Carrabba, he was on Turned Out a Punk, the guy who's from Fucked Up.
Yeah.
He interviewed Chris Carrabba on the upbringing of his music career. And by the way, Turned Out a Punk
is a fucking fantastic podcast.
Amazing podcast. If you don't listen to it, you should.
And Fucked Up is a band. Actually,
not enough
credit. I'm
going
to add that to my list for the positive ending of the show.
Woo. Well done. Woo. Well done. I'm glad I could influence you. So anyway, Chris Carrabba is a singer for Dashboard Confessionals. He went on tour with H2O, Snapcase, and Face to Face. He was the opener, and he had grown up in the Florida scene where he was actually really, really big in the punk hardcore community. And everybody knew it, but he just played a different style of music. Now, you might hate his music, but I loved what he said in the podcast that he had with the Turned Out a Punk. He actually said, look, I don't like these type of music, like musicians or whatever. Like, I won't listen to them, but I'm not going to go out there and make it a point that they shouldn't listen to it, because guess what? Joe Schmo over here might be thinking that it's the greatest band on earth and he enjoys it. So, like, I'm not going to take it away from them. And that's what we were talking about earlier, where, like, look, if you like these bands, that's awesome.
Yeah.
If you agree with us, now all of a sudden you have an understanding of, like, oh, I didn't see it that way, but now I see it that way.
Right.
But at least now I have an agreement with someone. That's cool. But he made it a point, like, people don't like my music and I don't get hurt by it. But there are people out there who do like me and my music just because they relate to it, or it's something that they can listen to with their kids. I mean, not a lot of people can just listen to heavy metal or punk or any angry type of music when they're raising a bunch of kids. Now, you might be that cool dad who does that.
That's me.
I was going to say.
I would totally be that person, but fortunately, I'm not having kids. But I mean, like, the thing is, you can actually have that relation with your bands. You can have that with your kids. You can have that with your family. And that's what's fun about it. It's just everybody gets to like what they like for that reason. They don't even need an explanation sometimes.
And can I say something?
What's your funny story?
My funny story is that the other day, our little Allie was sending me Instagrams while she was in the car with her dad. And in the background, she's making all these faces because Alan's listening to something hardcore.
It's Suicide Machines.
And it's like, and she's just making all these faces and sending me all these videos on Instagram, like making like intense faces every time it got intense. And all I could think was, like, that's her dad. And like, it was hysterical because she was making fun of it.
She was making fun of it. And you know what?
She's going to listen to it. And if she doesn't, then Alan's going to make her into the biggest Misfits fan.
She sings. She loves
the Misfits. She does love the Misfits.
She loves the Aquabats.
And she loves the fucking Aquabats. The smartest kid in the world.
Yeah.
Loves the Aquabats.
Intelligence. And you know what? Yeah. If she loves things that are outside of that, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. She loves little girl stuff too.
Yeah.
It's cute.
But
it's
I just thought it was hysterical. No, she sent me like 4 videos and all I could hear was like screaming in the background, a screamo something. And I was just dying because she was making
it was the Suicide Machines. It was actually that Battle Hymns record.
Oh, it was amazing.
I know exactly what it was.
It was amazing.
So that's going to do it for part one. Again, we had to split this one into 2 episodes because it was such a long show. We had too much to say. So next one, part 2, will be up next week. The website is talkmusictomeslc.com. We'll see you then.
Come on, dumbass. Play it.
Check this out. Yeah! Wah! You're gonna...
This has been a Studio B production.